You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We are also on clockradiospeakers.com. All of our previous 200 and some odd episodes are there. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. But the most traction you're going to get from us is those the Twitter streets. Those have been the faithful few. So if you want to engage with us, talk to us about the show, hit us up at CRS Podcast. We are on iTunes. You can vote, rate, and comment there. I wonder how many reviews are we at since we did that contest. I think that's it. Everywhere you get
Spotify.
Podcasts. Oh, yeah, right. We're on Spotify. Yep. Podcast officially on Spotify, so you can follow us there as well. And we're pretty much everywhere you get podcasts except for SoundCloud because they are trash. And the voice that you just heard interject that wonderful information is my man Doc. What's up, man?
Ooh, we took 3 weeks off, man.
Needed it.
Life is good. Things are good. Y'all can follow me on Twitter if you want, at @doc_beats, S not a Z. But like Armand said, just follow the show. Man, we got another snowstorm coming up here.
Yeah. It's already, actually, as I was pulling up to the house, it was snowing outside.
I've had enough. This is like the fourth nor'easter in March. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So a lot of snow, a lot of storms up here. What else has been going on? I turned 35. Man.
Oh, wait, when was your birthday?
Like a week and a half ago.
Jesus. Happy belated birthday, man. I feel like a terrible friend.
It's fine, man. Thank you. 35.
35, son. You're in your mid-30s.
I can't even pretend like I'm not in my mid-30s anymore. Like 34, you could be like, well, I'm still in the first half of my 30s. No.
Yeah.
Mid-30s.
Mid-30s, son.
It's all downhill from there. No, it's good.
All downhill from there.
I'm just kidding.
Nah, man. Best years of your life. I saw somebody on Twitter that said, don't waste 18 to 24. Those are the best years of your life. And I busted out laughing. Like, there's no way that 18 to 24 are the best years of your life.
Those are the years of your life when you're the most resilient to being stupid.
Yeah. Psh.
Your body can handle it. Your mind can handle it. Like,
but you end up, you're like 28, you're 29, and now you're cleaning up all of the dumb stuff that you did in your late teens and early 20s.
Right.
No. 30, for our young listeners on the show, 30s are, I was terrified of my 30s. I'm 33 now, and this has easily been, the last 3 years of my life have been way better than the previous seven.
You know what they say, right?
What they say?
30's a new 20. You walked right in.
I walked right into that. Speaking of Jay.
Yes, sir.
Did you get I was about to call it over the run. You damn old. Jesus. Did you get
it's okay. We'll talk about Top Bag later on.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk about Top Bag, the new T.I. and BG and Young Throw record. Did you get on the run tickets?
What about my life in 2018 tells you I'm getting on the run tickets? No, I did not get on the run tickets. First of all, I'm pretty sure they're playing in nothing but like football stadiums.
Yes. They just added some dates today. I didn't look and see what those were, but I did see that they added some dates.
Well, we got a lot of football stadiums in this country. I mean, no, like I'm good. Because they're going to play. There's going to be a whole like Lemonade versus 444 set. And we all know how I feel about 444. And let's be honest, Lemonade wasn't all that either. So like, eh?
Yeah, I probably should have went to like the Beyonce concert.
Yep. I messed that one up.
Yep. I was a friend of the show, shout out to Uriah. He got Man of the Woods tickets. And when I decided not to get tickets for that show because I don't like the album, YouTube has a whole set from his Justified tour. I'm not happy.
Like, you're like, you could have put up with the new tracks just to get that little mini three to four, like, you know, he's got like a 3 to 4 song set that's just like stuff from like 2003.
Trash. I don't need 3 or 4 songs. I need the whole album.
I know. We missed Justified was 02?
Justified was 02, yep.
So we've already missed the 15th anniversary.
Yeah, he's not going to do an anniversary for Justified. He's 100% doing one for Future Sex.
Mm. So we've got a 15-year anniversary for that. Oh, we still got 3 years. Okay, so that's not happening anytime soon either.
Nah. So whenever he goes back on the road again, yeah, that'll be happening.
Although, who knows? By then, he might be a country artist.
Oh, gosh. Like, yo, if he does his whole...
He's going to be like Hootie.
He's going to be like Hootie. Dad hats and flannel shirts and...
It's going to be the white Hootie.
The white Hootie.
I'm kidding.
Man, that's a that's a conundrum.
There's a lot, anyway, there's a lot layered in that statement.
100%. Okay, so no Jay-Z and Beyonce tickets.
No.
Did you listen to the Top Off record?
I did. I listened to Top Off.
Okay. And drew your top back?
Top Off is it's a very noisy record.
Yes.
There's a lot of noises and not a lot of goodness. It's like, all right, it's DJ Khaled. Like, it's the DJ Khaled cut and paste extravaganza.
Yes, it is.
So I'm good.
Yep, I'm tweeting that right now. Oh, man. Here's the problem.
Where do I start?
Here's the problem. I don't ever in my life want to hear Jay skirt skirt.
He's too old for that.
Too old for that. I don't even want to hear, like, Throwback and Durag Volume 3 So Ghetto Jay skirt skirt. No. It was just cringy. Just
man, you rich, take that durag off.
What you do that for? Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah. Let's talk about Beyonce on this record because she's rapping.
I mean...
Of course, conspiracy theorist Wake Up is going to say that she is intimidated by what Rihanna did on Lemon. And she's like, there's no way.
I think that's overrated too, but this is not as good as Rihanna. But I don't know, like, honestly, and this, I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, how much we talk about Logic and Extentacion, however you pronounce his name later. Like, at this point, the line between singing and rapping, I mean, I don't know, like, go, like, the problem is like, so if you're like a teenager now and you went back and listened to some of the Destiny's Child songs from like 1999 where they're trying to like fast sing rap over Dark Child beats.
Yes.
How is that really conceptually that much different than what happens here?
I agree with that. I think this clearly isn't something new. Like Beyonce's been sing rapping for a while. I think it just stands out more because Rihanna just did it and Rihanna.
That's fair.
Is getting the response that she's getting from Lemon because you're the only person in the world who thinks that that's overrated. The rest
I think
of us.
I think she's fine.
Here's the other part. And let me pull this up just to verify it.
Okay.
So when you pull up Top Off on Tidal, it's listed as, and let me pull it up. Hold on. Under the dumb on the meme. Why are we still doing it? So she's listed on this song as B. So the rumor is that Beyonce is coming out with a rap album under the moniker of B.
I mean, that's not quite as bad of an idea as when Garth Brooks came out as Chris Gaines. But it's also not that much better. Like, the name Beyonce is such a strong brand. In what world would you do that?
Yeah. I mean, Beyonce can do what she wants.
That's right.
She can literally do whatever she wants.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This song isn't really that good. And everybody seems to have pretty much forgotten about it, right?
100%.
Okay.
Was there anything? No, I think I'm good. Okay, so speaking of Rihanna and Lemon.
Yes, yes, sir.
Your man Aubrey.
The Aubrey Graham... rollout plan continues.
He's been doing a lot.
He's been doing a lot with a little.
A lot with a little. So just to recap, so we got two singles at the, was that the top of the year?
That's right. About a month and a half ago.
Okay. So Diplomatic Immunity, which we loved and gushed over and thought was crazy and super dope. And then with God's Plan, we were like, yeah, that's all right too. And then six weeks later, nobody's talking about Diplomatic Immunity. And God's Plan, what did you say? It's number one for how many weeks?
Number one now for 8 weeks in a row. Tying Mariah Carey's Fantasy, which also ran for 8 weeks at number one. Here are the four songs that have been at number one longer than God's Plan in the history of Billboard.
Okay.
Which, granted, didn't really start counting until like 91, right? So let's just say for the last 30 years, right?
Okay.
Adele's Hello was number one for 10 weeks.
Hello.
Puff Daddy, I'll Be Missing You, 11 weeks.
Okay.
Elton John, Candle in the Wind, 14 weeks.
Okay.
And Mariah Carey and Boys to Men, One Sweet Day, 16 weeks.
Woo!
But still, God's Plan, 8 weeks.
That's peak. That's peak Mariah and Boys to Men.
Mm. And I should say, there have been songs that have been number one for longer, but like we're saying from the moment it debuted.
Mm-hmm.
So like it has just been number one the entire time it's been out.
Yeah.
So One Sweet Day, there wasn't even a lead up to it. Like it came out, it was number one, and it was number one for 4 months.
That's crazy.
So yeah, Drake's doing all right. Right? Because he's also, the JB Black Boy record, Look Alive, yep. Peaked at number five, still in the top 10.
Yep.
And now we've got the Migos and Drake video, which we're talking about in a second. But Drake on Lemon, I thought he was fine. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing terrible. What'd you think?
It's – okay. I think here it's a conundrum with Drake. I've been using that word a lot.
Conundrum?
Yeah. So, number one, it was unnecessary. Number two, people love Rihanna's version so much that – you would have to either do what she did just as good or better. And Drake didn't do that. And what's weird is as a rapper, especially in today's climate, it's okay to have open spaces in your verse. So if I rap a verse and then I say something, I can bring it back and that's okay. But when that space is there, it gives people enough time to react to the line. And I think people listen to Drake, especially on records like these, for him to, you know, talk kind of crazy. And there was absolutely no crazy talk. It was like a regular rap verse. And I don't know when's the last time we've heard a regular rap verse from Drake that had no quotables, no nothing. And I think that just made it even worse. And again, Twitter, everything on social media is either great or terrible. To me, it was whatever, but it's enough fodder for people to say this is completely trash. I do think, though, the one positive about this is that you and I agree that this album will sound better when the weather changes. And with this coming out, I feel like it's making people revisit the album because it's like fake warm outside.
Yeah, we still got a little bit of time for that.
We got a little bit of time. However, Sunday, I mean, here in Ohio, Sunday it was 60. I actually played it. And yeah, it sounds different. We haven't had that like A. Marie day where like the good weather's here to stay. We haven't had that yet, but we've had like little flashes. But I feel like it brought some attention back to the project that I think NERD is going to benefit off of. But
I feel like everybody needs a good like first warm weather day of the year playlist.
Yo, we might have to do that because I was so thinking about that on Sunday.
Because
streets might need that.
I'm a big fan of playing Big Crit R4 theme song. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You roll the windows down. It's like 60 degrees, but it feels like it's 75 because you've been living in snow for the past 5 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Drake right now. Like, Drake's having fun, you know?
Yeah.
Views was so serious and dark. More Life, I don't think people really knew what to do with.
Yeah.
But we're getting kind of like Drake having fun, you know?
Yeah.
God's Plan is incredibly popular and not surprisingly. I will say it's doing pretty well as a meme as well. People just love, like, Drake's in on the joke. Like, when Drake's in on the joke, that's when he's at his best.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Shout out to Drake.
Yeah.
Let me say this much. That Waka Taka video is trash.
Oh, wow. That's a strong word.
It's lazy. Haven't we seen Snoop do this exact video before or something? Like, I mean, like this idea has been done. Migos do absolutely nothing with it. Like, at least Drake is, again, Drake's in on the joke. Like, I don't know if Migos knows. To me, I didn't get a sense that they were in on the joke. Like, this is kind of stupid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now that's a tall order, right? Like Drake has kind of like comedic timing a little bit. Like he's done, you know, like he has a bit of a sense for this. Like, I don't know. I think it's a weird thing where like, because of the way the song, like I'm calling it trash. You're right. A little strong take. I would say, I feel like a song like this, the video has to be like cut and edited in a certain way to give it kind of a bit more of an energy. Cause there's a lot of this video that's just shot like straight on. And because of the way the song itself is, I'm just kind of like, meh, eh, I'm good with it. I don't know. How did you feel about it?
It's okay. It's
nothing
cool.
It's nothing to get like super excited about, right?
I'll say this though. Okay. I've noticed, so spoiler alert, I'm sitting on something really, really cool and visually. And so what that is doing is that's making me look at like all other visuals, videos or whatever. And like 90% of rap videos are just like you in front of a like dilapidated area. So when we're seeing somebody, oh, Soul Train, you know, to the kids.
Mm.
Yeah. People are like, oh, this is so creative. But of course, you know, there's nothing new under the sun and there never will be. So we've seen this 10 times over.
Listen, our generation, we growing up, we invented 70s nostalgia.
Shout out to Camp Lo.
I mean, shout out to the We Trying to Stay Alive video.
Yeah. The Black Nostalgic video, which was good times. The We Trying to Stay Alive video. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there was stuff before. The Snoop Dogg, Doggy Dogg World video.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're familiar with that. I'm not mad at it just because it's an attempt to do something different. One thing that I've noticed about the Amigos is their first Breakfast Club interview, I think when Culture One came out, they're very much like reclusive, answered, you know, very, you know, like real short, didn't really engage, and people didn't like the interview. This second interview, people made memes off of it. People liked it. They were talkative. They were answering in detail. It felt like the first time that people actually got to know who they were. And I think they tried the same thing with Yachty, where they've got Yachty going up the Funk Flex. They've got Yachty on the Breakfast Club. And it's totally worked for the Migos, and it is not at all working for Yachty. It's actually hurting Yachty.
Interesting.
Because Yachty is one of the poster boys. He's the chief. Like, when people just start, like, rattling off, you know, what's wrong with hip hop, Yachty is always like top three on that list. And this is just a casual rattle off where people, the last generation will rattle off Chief Keef, not realizing that Chief Keef was like super influential on, you know, 80% of the people you were hearing at that time, including Kanye. So yeah, it's interesting to see that dynamic sort of play out, but I'm not mad at it. I don't think it's crazy or anything like that, but it's cool. I'm not mad at it.
Okay.
I still don't like the song. But I don't know what else. I think we said it when we reviewed the project. Like, yeah, they're totally gonna. It's funny. What's funny is, you know, they wanted Drake to do the Versace video and Drake was like, absolutely not.
Right.
Just like Future wanted Drake to do the Tony Montana video and Drake was like, absolutely not.
Who are you?
Who are you? But however, Drake does do the video for Look Alive. He does do the video for Tuesday. Why do you think that is, Doc?
I mean, could it have something to do with the fact that he's getting distribution on that?
Boom. Boom, pal. Oops, pal, surprise.
Oops, pal, surprise.
Yep. That's it. So, yeah, it's cool. Anything else going on with Drake?
I mean, seems like he's been one of the many who've been assembling out in Wyoming for Kanye West's rap fantasy camp.
He's been out there?
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting. Your boy's been out there, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, your actual boy that, you know, Francis, yeah, there, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it there.
Kanye has been out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is really a terrible place to do rap fantasy camp because there's one airport in and out. Like, right. It didn't take long for people to realize, oh, Kid Cudi and the Dream at the airport? Like, Mike Dean's Snapchat has mountains in the background? Like, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
So he's out. So Nas been out there, Kid Cudi, Travis Scott, Dream, all the usual producers like Jeff Basker, Mike Dean, etc. Seems like people are coming back now. So I don't know. Was this a last push? Was this a let's do a major session? Who knows, right? But I think it's safe to say, like, basically between now and I don't know, pick your time. Like, could be due for a surprise Kanye something. Not necessarily like you're going to get an album tomorrow or anything, but like, I think we're now within the realm of possibility of new Kanye music coming soon.
Man, one of my best friends who recently moved to New York was in town for the weekend, and we all were just hanging out, and we talked about how amazing the St. Pablo tour was. And it made me revisit the life of Pablo.
Mm.
I'll say this. I don't love the album the way that I did, but that's because I played it out, not because it hasn't aged well.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see what direction Kanye goes from there, because he's now like super polarizing. Everybody loved Kanye, and now it's like either love him or hate him. It's 50-50. So that kind of gives you a freedom.
Yeah. When
people have made their stance on you, I don't like you, you are this, you are this, versus the people who will kind of sort of rock with you no matter what. And there's a small percentage of the gray area that is just kind of dependent on what you do. I'm very curious because we traditionally see Kanye gradually go from like his sound. So, you know, we talk about how the early Watch the Throne, what they got on Watch the Throne, you can hear it on Blueprint 3. So I'm curious to know if Pablo was the culmination of a sound, or if Pablo is in the middle of them growing to something else.
To me, Pablo is just like, here's Kanye at a point in his career where he's decided he can do anything. Like, he's, you know, it's like, sure, we'll give you, soul samples and this and that. Oh, sure. I'll bring in Metro to do some drums on this and that. Oh, sure. I'll give you, like, Pablo just really felt like, I mean, especially we've talked about it before. We've said, we've had this exact conversation on the show before about how, like, Father Stretch My Hands Part One is like, to talk about that beat, you have to first be like, okay, here's what we did with soul sampling to get to this point. Okay, here's what we did with trap, like sort of drum beat, trap drum patterns to get to this point. Okay, you hear that synth bass line? That's actually like a little West Coast inspired. So let's talk about what we did to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Oh, auto-tune? Oh, let's talk about what we did to get to that point. Like, yeah. Kanye is a postmodern like rapper, right? He is going to mix and match influences and techniques and all sorts of stuff. He has no problem calling in the newest person you've never heard of or the person who he's been working with for 20 years. So like, I don't know. All that to say, I feel like he's been a little quiet.
Yes.
Which, I don't know. I feel like he's been a little quiet. We don't have a lot to go on. I think it could be. We could be in for something a little different.
Mm. Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's Kanye. It's always interesting.
Yep. What else is going on, man?
Well, before we get to anything else, we haven't really updated. So last time, it's been 3 weeks since we talked, which was right after the album, right?
Yeah.
So what's been going on, man?
Oh, man. I am absolutely floored with the response to this album. I can't even put it into words. Like, I get overwhelmed sometimes just really. I don't put a whole lot of stock into like response and reaction, because I feel like, you know, if you live for their acceptance, you'll die from their criticism. But at the same time, like I'm just really, really overwhelmed. Like, you guys really, really, really like this album, and I'm super just ecstatic about it. We've got some things in the works. We definitely shot a video and some things happened, and that video just kind of blew up into something that we just did not imagine it would be becoming. So working on some other stuff there. I am working on an album release party that is happening in April. As of right now, that will not be streamed. So bring me to your city. Just a few things. Merch should be coming back next week. Got some samples popping. I need to talk to you about that, Doc. And we just got some things rolling, man. So yeah, Even If I Lose is everywhere. Everywhere you get music. Physicals are being sent out, I think, this week. Yeah. Just a lot of good things happening, man. So thank you guys for your support. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my physical copy's on the way. I got the notice.
Okay, word. They sent it out.
Yeah.
Good on Elect.
There you go.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this tweet.
What tweet is that?
Let's talk about this comment. Because my problem was I didn't go back and listen to what exactly I said verbatim. So basically, your tweet was that I was on the Two Tones podcast. Shout out to Two Tones. Where basically I said, or I insinuated that it was your fault that Kairos was long. Is that what I said verbatim?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's what happened with Kairos from my perspective. My original plan with Kairos was I assimilated a team, and they were supposed to help me sort of branch everything out. And Kairos took, you know, even if I lose, took at least like a couple weeks to write. You know, the process was a little longer to create the music. But Kairos was literally a labor of love for like a year and a half. And so over that time, people just kind of like fell off. And then Doc is like, hey, and Doc kind of came on halfway into the project, and Doc helped me out with a lot of stuff. And I think what happens is that Doc and I are super, what's the word I'm looking for? Perfectionists.
Particular.
Particular. I'll go with that. And I think in retrospect, and I've said this before, I think we overthought the album. So when I say, oh, it's Doc's fault that the album went long, what I meant to say was we really overthought that album. And I think if we just, and I think like if I didn't need to tell every single step of that story, it was literally like some songs were put in there because I felt like to go from one song to the other, it needed a transitional record, and it didn't. And those are just lessons that you learn, whatever, whatever. So, I mean, if that came off like I threw you under the bus, like I'm
probably, I appreciate that, but it was more tongue in cheek than anything else. I mean, the biggest thing about that, about making that album was like, we didn't know what we didn't know.
Absolutely.
Right. Like I, you know, I had to like try to figure out what does it mean to actually like master an album. I didn't know what I was doing, but we made it work.
Yep.
And I go back and listen to it now, and I'm like, oh, I would do that differently. But that's what you say about all music, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
So like, I don't know. I look at that and go, like, we got a little in over our heads.
Yep.
But the only way out is through. So we figured it out. We made it happen. We definitely overthought it. We definitely over listened to it. Like I got to a point where I was just like, I don't even know what I'm listening to right now. I just hear noise.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I get all that, man.
It's all good. It's an album. Yeah. And it's honestly, this is something I've been telling a lot of people because a lot of people have just been asking me, oh my God, just all types of, my DMs are just full of all types of questions and concerns and comments and all that stuff. And it's great. But, you know, essentially to confirm what you just said, like I'm learning now that there's no such thing as failure. I think you fail if you don't do it. And I think that you get to a place, especially creatively, but just in life in general, like just try it. And if it doesn't work, the only way that you fail is if either you don't do it or if you don't learn something. And like you said, like we learned a lot putting that together, just like we've learned a lot doing this podcast. You listen to the earlier episodes, you listen to episodes from 6 months ago, and I'm sure they sound different than where they do now. That's just growth and development and understanding what works and what doesn't, and people change, and what you liked a year ago you can't stand now. That's just, it's just people, man. So yeah, it was a great experience, and that I'm not gonna be the guy who, I'll never say Kairos was trash. Kairos is phenomenal for that time. It was the best thing that we could do at that time. Just like even if I lose, the best thing that I could have done when we did it, you know. So my next project will be the best that I could do for that time, and that's all, it's what it's all about, just getting better. So yeah.
Okay. So your man Craig, actually everybody's man, Craig Mack.
Yeah, man.
Passed away.
Yeah.
So for most rap fans, they know him because of Flav in Your Ear.
Yes.
Older rap fans like us, isn't that great? We're now in the older rap fan category. We'll say 90s hip hop heads. They might even remember, you know, some of the other Craig Mack records. They might remember the him and Puff on what, MTV Raps. Puff's talking about the second album.
Yes. Making Moves with Puff, Get Down.
Right.
Yeah. Like that project Funk the World has some joints. Like we're not gonna romanticize and fantasize it. Like it was cool. It was
right. It's very much it sounds like to me, some of the beats there, I mean, it's not surprising, right? Easy Mo Be at a Hand in yep. both projects, but some of that sounds a little bit like the less glossy parts of Ready to Die.
Yep. 100%. Right.
From a production standpoint. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, in my brain, like Craig Mack fell under the category of basically like Puff screwed him over.
Yep. He was the first one.
I mean, is that fair to say?
He was the first one.
Yeah. It's gonna sound weird. I mean, have we ever heard like Puff like apologize for any of that or talk about any of that? Or has he ever given the, let me tell you, I did some terrible things interview?
Never, ever, ever.
But he's dancing in those Instagram stories.
He's dancing in Instagram stories, and now, because goodness is the new hustle, he's tweeting out and sending out, you know, positive energy and, you know.
Good vibes, man.
Good vibes. Motivation. I'm like, this is the guy.
Motivational speakers have always been a hustle.
Let's talk about it.
And Puff is a hustler.
He's a hustler spirit. He's got a hustler spirit. Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Puff is going to make money.
Yeah. And no matter what the expense, who the expense. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to draw a wrestling parallel and you tell me if this is crazy, where it's like, look, you have one wrestler who dies young because of drugs or steroid problems or whatever. You go, man, that's a messed up life. But when you have so many, you start to look at like the institution that made that possible.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And with Puff and his history with rappers, you could look at one and go, nah, you know, it didn't really work out.
Yes.
But like, who has walked away? I mean, has anybody?
There's been nobody.
I mean, and the thing is, like, obviously, like, especially in the mid 90s, like he put all his, he bet all the horses on Big, and we'll never know like what happened there. But everybody else, it didn't end up well at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
The R&B side, a little different.
Still, I mean, still the same.
Maybe, but I don't know, like Mace, Loon, Black Rob.
Yeah.
The Lox basically got out before they could.
Yeah, but they knew it was coming.
Right.
G-Dep. Mark Curry.
Curry.
What was the white guy's name?
Kane.
Yep. Yep. Such a... The band, Day 26. Like, I feel like the R&B groups or the R&B artists. Before I get to that point, it's not just that Puff is screwing over these people. These people are having like dramatic experiences happen to them. Let's include Shine in that as well.
Yeah.
So these are people who are finding Jesus. Loon became a Muslim, went to jail for selling drugs. You know, Mace went to, I mean, a bunch of reasons for Mace going to Atlanta. That's a whole other conversation. And people literally, you know, I think Shine converted to, I believe it was Judaism for a point. Like, what is it? What do you see at Bad Boy to make you feel like you your only way of escape? And it shouldn't like be dire like this, but is to have a religious experience. Like, this is the only way I can get out of this, because whatever I saw, whatever I experienced was just that much. And it's consistent across the board. G-Dep literally walks into a police station and says, I killed somebody 20 years ago. Arrest me. Crazy. I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, Puff's, you know, dancing with a side. It's all good. He's posing on GQ.
And now, you know, he's going to try to make sure his kids have a career.
Yeah. His son. Yep. What's his name? Puffy Jr. or something? What's his name? King Combs. Okay, my bad. Puffy Jr. I knew it was something. King Combs. I think his son, that's not his biological son, but the person he claims his son as, Al B. Shore's son, Quincy, I think he has a career as well.
That's Al B. Shore's kid?
Yeah. The light-skinned one with the curly hair. That's Al B. Shore. You can't tell? He looked just alike.
Every time that kid comes around, Puff is just humming Night and Day. No, anyway. Yeah. All that to say about Craig Mack, listen, he's like definitely forgotten in the whole like Bad Boy era. But that Flav in Ear remix, we're talking like prime time for like some of the biggest rappers of all time. And he does not embarrass himself.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's low key the record that really kind of put Big on the map.
I mean, I still don't really know what LL Cool J is talking about in that verse, but it's LL Cool J in 95. It's Big Bang Busta Rhymes before he was Big Bang.
Big Bang.
Like,
I could also do without Rampage.
Rampage has found his way onto some tracks that sometimes I wonder how he found his way onto them, but you know.
Listen, I need to know the secret of how he got Wild for the Night. What did you do? What did you do? Who did you kill? What secrets do you know?
I mean, isn't it really just as simple as Busta needed to make sure this guy sold because Busta was benefiting, you know, monetarily from it. So sure. Here you go. Here's the Busta Rhymes stimulus package.
There definitely was a Busta Rhymes stimulus package in 1996, 1997, for sure. That's crazy. What was interesting about Craig Mack, and we don't have to get into this, it was just I posted the video of him going down to South Carolina, attending the church, and I'm looking on it right now, like, dude, like, that post has 287,000 views.
Oh, you became a viral sensation.
Viral sensation. So I was up there with like Terry.
What all the kids were talking about, Armand, wake up.
Yeah. I got to know. It definitely wasn't all the kids. It was 100% all the aunties. I've got friend requests full of women between the ages of 36 and 43.
So many aunties. You could have an auntie team.
I got to stop walking into stuff. Oh God. Oh, that was right there. It was right at the rim. I can't even be mad at that.
Marissa would have divorced me if I didn't make that joke.
Oh man, that was good. Oh. Another point. I forgot what point that you, oh, I think you said something about, I forgot who you said something about, but Nelly made a comment recently where he said the biggest what if in hip hop is the DOC.
Is that true? I have some other big what ifs in hip hop.
I agree because, okay, so to me, DOC's first album is a classic. I know it's not universally considered one.
I get it.
His first album is a classic. If his second album would have come out, that was 89 when No One Can Do It Better came out. So by those terms, his second album probably would have came out in 91, 92. So that's Niggas for Life, the Chronic era of Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
So those beats with DOC, who was more more polished as an MC, I think that changes the whole landscape. Because DOC is so, he wrote a lot of the Chronic, wrote on so many West Coast classic or just hip hop classics. Like, to me, that's a huge what if.
It's definitely a huge what if.
Let me say this last thing. And I feel like a lot of people's top 10 lists would be completely different had the DOC gotten one more out.
I mean, the biggest what if is, I'm trying to think. I think the biggest what if is Big Dying, right?
Because it's up there. It's top three.
It completely, the ripple effects from that are just, I don't even know where you start, right? Jay-Z's career is different. Puff Daddy, does he even become Puff Daddy? Does the backlash to Puff Daddy even happen, which means does Def Jam 98 even happen? And then you can just list out the careers that are affected downstream from that. That's a pretty big what if.
Do you think Big L is a what if?
I was listening to his first to The Big Picture today, or the other day, actually. Ooh, randomly.
Sorry to hear that. No, I'm joking.
No, it's because I listened to Prime, and I was like, what I really want to listen to is old Primo.
Wait, don't.
We'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there.
But yeah,
so Big L is interesting. I don't know.
Because you got, so Big L's 98.
Yeah.
So Big L passes in 98 or 99. He's 98, right?
99.
February 99. Let me look.
Yeah, yep. 99.
Yeah, February 15, 99. So if he signs to Rockefeller, like everyone has said that he was going to, his album comes out, we can say 2000, 2001. So that's, who was that Rockefeller back then? So that's like early Just. So that's Swiss Beats Just. But that's, who was producer for Rockefeller back then?
In what era?
This is 2000, 2000. I'm assuming that if he signs with Rockefeller, his album comes out in 2000 or 2001.
I mean, so that's like, that's Emil, that's Dynasty, that's Backstage Soundtrack.
So that, okay, so that's
the beginning of Just and Kanye doing their thing. That's Bink. That's, yeah, it's the beginning of that run.
A little bit of Rockwilder, some Swiss.
Oh, do you know? See, that's the thing. It's really a mixed bag. Do you want to hear Big L on Swiss Beats? I don't know.
We 100% would have got that. But listen, I'm not going to sit up here and act like we we give him enough grief on this show, but I can't sit here like Swiss didn't have joints in 2000.
No, totally.
Yeah, I definitely thought that he did. So
Yeah, that I mean, look, I mean, anytime there's a death in hip hop, there's almost always a what if, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes, right? I mean, Big Pun is fascinating, right? Like, obviously, like Tupac, right? Heck, Eazy-E. I mean, all those deaths are definitely big what ifs. I'm trying to think, are there any what ifs that aren't like, that aren't sort of, you know, related to someone dying that are like major?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I mean, what if Jay goes to jail for stabbing Un?
True. True.
Does he become like T.I. where you have like this lost era in the middle of his prime?
True.
There's a handful of stuff like that. Yeah. So I'd actually love to know from our fans. So if you're listening to this, which I mean, that's a dumb statement. You're listening to this. So if you're interested,
yes,
hit us up at CRS Podcast and let us know what you think big what if moments in hip hop history are.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Anything else about Craig Mack?
Nah, just rest in peace.
Agreed. It's a shame. He's young too.
Yeah. Heart failure at 46. Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.